Larry, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. All right. You keep saying 2020, and you mentioned the Hanging Chads, and you mentioned several things. Do you mean 2000?
That was 2000. I'm sorry. I'm in 2000.
Okay, you did that several times where I think when you're talking about 2000, you say 220 or 2020. And so when people are watching it, they might want to make sure that they're getting that
Yeah,
discrepancy
well,
correct.
what I think, you guys need to be a little bit more proactive. When you see me kicking it around like that, and it's obvious that I'm kicking it around like that, somehow break in and stop me.
Yeah, I wrote it in the chat. I wrote it in the chat, but I didn't I yeah, I don't I didn't want to just interrupt you, but yeah, I'm sorry. I should have.
No, I'm not rebuking you. I'm suggesting that we should do that. No, I'm saying the year 2000, right? Right down here, if you're out still looking at the visual,
Yeah.
I should have been 2000 because 9/11 is 2001.
Right.
And the year 2000 was proclaimed as a jubilee by Pope John Paul II, and the year 2025 has been proclaimed as a jubilee by this woke pope. And the jubilees are directly connected with this teaching of a thousand years of peace. And that's what's going on from 9/11 onward, is this movement to usher in the millennium.
Okay. And so if I'm following you, you're bringing July 18 down and paralleling it with 1989 to show the first and the second angels running parallel with one another. That's what we're doing here, basically.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
So what
because
we're.
that's our great mission, is to combine the
Yes.
first, second, and third angel's message. And she does that. She there's
Amen.
times where she takes those histories and combines them. So it's not me, inventing some way to twist things around. It's we've established the necessary principles to apply them this way.
And so this is the seven thunders, the line of truth. What we talked about last week.
Well, I'm using this history from 1989 to 9/11
Yeah.
as a witness to history that we should see between July 18th and the Midnight Cry. I could use
Yes.
the history of all the way to July 18th, 2020, which would line up with the Sunday Law. Do you follow
Amen.
me?
Yes, absolutely.
Because the Sunday Law, there's also another angel arriving. It's the angel of
Amen.
Revelation 18, second voice. So you could take that one and move it around as well. And you can. And you can take October 22nd, 1844 to 1863, and you can lay it over July 18th, 2020, and 1863 is going to line up with the Sunday Law.
Amen. Yeah, so
Okay.
we're when I say the line of the seven thunders, this is the beginning, the middle, and the end. This is the truth. We're also seeing that there, when you take the beginning, the middle, and the end parallels the beginning. And so we're creating that line that we're looking at, this parallel of the first angel paralleling the second angel.
Yes, and therefore the what I'm setting up here is where I got the scribbles before the blue line that I was saying 2020
Yes.
when I should have been saying 2000. That particular history, once we settle into the reality that before the message was empowered on September 11th, 2001, before our message was empowered, in the history leading up to that, there were special things happening in history that were illustrating things that would be repeated in our history. And what I did is I selected just one of those things, that you have a pope, and he was the pope that corresponds with the first president, and the other pope corresponds with the eighth president. So you have that that balance that it should fit into this history. And when you bring these lines together like that, you can see that Pope John Paul II's proclamation of the Jubilee is typifying the proclamation of the Jubilee by Pope Francis. And the emphasis there is that we're in the history now before the midnight cry, where Donald Trump just got elected. And my argument is now that he's elected, you have in black and white the representation of the national reform movement, this counterfeit revival and reform that's going to make first America great and then the entire world great. And I'm saying the part I'm saying today that I haven't really said before in this way, at least, is that, you know, he makes the entire world great also, because when you get to the seven last plagues, the wicked are still believing that they're in this wonderful temporal millennium. So they didn't quit believing it from what he does in the United States and then, you know, drop the theme through the time, the little time of trouble from the Sunday law in the United States until human probation closes it. They believe this lie all the way through. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we have that element, that testimony, then when we go back into where we started in verses 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 of Daniel 11, and we see Antiochus III in three battles, verse 10, in the battle of verse 11, and then in the battle of verses 13 to 15, and we understand that he represents the proxy power of the United States, mm-hmm. that we can begin to see this reform movement for what it is. It's at Caesarea Philippi just before mm-hmm. the Sunday law, and it's just before the line of the Hasmonean dynasty, the Maccabees, is getting ready to dedicate the temple for the second time, which I'm saying is the inauguration, the second inauguration for Donald Trump in 2025, when the Pope's calling for the Jubilee to be celebrated. And then by the satanic traditions, it's at that time that there's a miracle that's going to occur in this temple dedication. And what that miracle is going to do, whatever it might be, it's going to just empower and embolden this MAGA movement that is openly saying they're leading into the golden age. And therefore, Sister White is saying that this national reform movement is the very message of the hour. It is the present truth message. And therefore, we know that our final test by which our eternal destiny will be decided is the formation of the image of the beast. And therefore, the primary element that upholds that the image of the beast is being erected in the United States is this counterfeit reform movement that can be seriously, completely, it can be placed now in the election. And once you can place it at the election, then if you've got the means, you can begin going backwards in history and seeing where all the tentacles that produced the golden age movement after the election began. But it's mm-hmm. certainly the waymark of this last election.
So then,
did you follow that?
Yes. Part of the thing, let me say, what I'm taking from this is part of the midnight cry. While we recognize the midnight cry as the hidden verses, part of the hidden verses that we haven't talked about before, in part, is the things that lead up. So you talked about the two jubilees, 2000 Jubilee, 2024 Jubilee, that's going to be in 2025. But more so, it's the golden age or the temporal millennium. And what we're saying is there is no temporal millennium. Christ is literally about to return. And we're making a warning message, a midnight cry message, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Christ is not going, it's not going to be a temporal 1,000 years of spiritual restoration within the church. It's literally Christ is coming to get his church. And it's happening under this president, under this reign of this president who becomes the first dictator of the United States and then the world.
Right. That's how I understand it.
Yes. Okay. And so, go ahead.
There's one thing, one element that I haven't hit on that was one of the primary purposes of this presentation, where these little marks that I'm making here were this Pope's claiming a jubilee and this one. I'm not so interested in the fact that they are proclaiming a jubilee. What I'm interested in is that what I realize is that from 1989 until 9/11, in that history there, when Future for America begins in 1996 here, there were certain special truths that were opened up by the God of heaven to this movement between 1996 and 2000, okay? And those special truths had to do with recognizing things that were happening in the world that proved that the Sunday Law was imminent. And those things were, among other things, the revival, the false revival that was going on in spiritualism as represented by the White Buffalo. The revival that was going on in the Catholic Church is represented by the apparitions of Mary. And the spiritualistic manifestations that were going on in apostate Protestantism as represented by the Holy Tongues. Okay, those things were all occurring leading up to the year 2000, and they became the focus of the message of Future for America. And some of those things we were led to understand was absolutely God's providence. He wanted us to be teaching those things. He opened up to us the false prophetic Catholic teaching of Fatima. And so what I'm saying is that these things are now all not just the Pope's proclamation, but these miracles, these false miracles that are preceding 9/11, they're happening again as well.
Amen.
So there's several things testifying to the fact that this is it.
So since 2023, paralleling 1996, all those same teachings that you were bringing forth from Future for America about the warning of what was going to happen in 2000 are paralleling leading up to what's going to happen at Midnight Cry.
Yes.
And part of that would be like the whole movement. I forget the name of with Kenneth Copeland and all those guys who were, what was the name of that movement that you talked about all the time? It's not coming to my mind.
The Holy Laughter Movement. You had Promise Keepers going. The Christian Coalition Movement.
Christian Coalition. That's the one I was thinking of.
All of that stuff, it was all there. You know, we were identifying how the Republicans were going to take the election because anyway, it's parallel history, and across the board there are things that are occurring that were happening then, which is just telling us that we're on the verge of this message that was unsealed in 2023. Being empowered, and it's empowered when the extra camp meeting is over.
Amen.
And when the 40 days is over and there's 10 days, I guess, that we get lifted up as an ensign and come into unity.
So are we on the brink of being in the 10 days? Are we still in the 40? Or where do you think
we have to get, I think we have to get to verse 13, okay, of Daniel 11. Verse 12 is where whatever kind of retribution or whatever that Putin's going to suffer after he defeats the Ukraine, whatever that's represented there, then you have the Battle of Panem.
Right.
And that comes before the Sunday Law of verse 16. What to me, okay, the Paneum is probably the Exeter Canby. We're not quite yet at the Exeter Canby. If you see this line here,
yes.
If this is the Exeter Camp Meeting, all right, and we haven't arrived there yet. And why I'm saying that, and I'm just thinking this as we walk through, is that when you get to the end of the camp meeting, you're either a wise or foolish virgin. That's how we understand it from the prophecy and from the history.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get to the Exeter Camp Meeting, and Exeter Camp Meeting is when everything is going to come together. And we're going to have a message to run with, okay? So when I started into this little thought, I knew what I wanted to say, but there's something that has to develop in this history here that crystallizes at this mm-hmm. camp meeting. And
so does the camp meeting start on the purple line or blue line, whatever color that is?
You tell me.
I think it must.
Well, to me, yeah, because it's been progressive. Back here, Samuel Snow starts understanding his message. He begins to publicize it, and it's getting clearer and clearer. And then he arrives at Exeter a little bit late and has to do mm-hmm. a double presentation, and then it's over. So I don't think Samuel's there yet.
Yeah,
I hope he's not.
Me too.
But
we're here. I mean, effectively, the message has arrived.
Yeah, the Midnight Cry message. The thing, one of the things that's pointed out by Sister White is that she identifies the first angel, the second angel, and the third angel as singular angels. But she identifies the Midnight Cry as a multitude of angels.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the Midnight Cry message is, it's not a singular message. It's several pieces of prophecy that are woven together.
Right.
And we need to bring them all together. So I'm still trying. The empowerment of 9/11 at one level is the whole Exeter Camp meeting, I'm sure. But when that camp meeting is over, that's all she wrote, right? Isn't that how you understand it?
Yes, I'm that's exactly how I would understand it. While you're at the camp meeting, that's when the virgins wake up, and you either have the oil, meaning you either understand, you can either follow the message and you're with it, or you have to go try to figure out what he's saying, and it's too late. And by the time you leave, you either have the message that you're taking to the world or you don't have it.
Yeah, and when you take the message to the world here in this history,
mm-hmm.
it's symbolized in the Pentecostal history with the number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, they've got 40 days to understand
right.
the message. Now they've got 10 days of coming together, but 10 represents a test. And this history is the final steps of the setting up of the image of the beast. This is where the image of God is manifested by the wise virgins, and the image mm-hmm. of the beast is manifested by the other class and by the government of the United States. 10's a testing process. There's just so many lines that come
yeah.
up come at, that uphold what we're saying, that how to teach it is the trick.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's we're going to have to understand each one of those lines well enough to know how to bring them all together. It seems to me that's where we're at. So thank you.
I'm not so sure we don't understand the line.
Well, what I'm saying, I think as a movement we do, but as individuals.
Well, even what I mean by that is, I know there's people right now that have listened to this today, and they've been listening for a long time, whatever, that when we're done today, they're going to say, well, this is like every other time. You know, I can make some of them will say, I can follow Jeff while he's talking, but once he moves beyond that point, I can follow him where he's talking, but I've forgotten that point, that earlier point. And for whatever reason, they can't pull it all together, or they tell themselves that they don't have the mental aptitude to have all these lines memorized like Brother Jeff does, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that we do know him, and that prophecy of that's found in Crest Collection, and I understand you can't see this. You can't see this, what I switched to, right?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, well, this line here that's underlined.
Yeah.
By their fulfillment, by the prophetic fulfillment. These prophecies are to be witnessed in the world. By their fulfillment in the last days, they will explain themselves. So what I'm saying is, I had understanding of several components of the national reform movement and the counterfeit revival and reformation. I've been, that passage that I read from Testimonies Volume 5, I've been reading that to public audiences for decades. Okay, so that was what was happening before the year 2000. I had an understanding of many of these concepts, but for me, it wasn't until Trump's election, and then I realized that the Republican horn went through a two-step process of the judgment of the living, just like the Protestant horn does. And I realized, wow, 9/11, Sunday lots, the judgment of the living, lights began to come on. And what I'm saying, it was the fulfillment of this statement. By their fulfillment, Trump just got elected, it'll explain themselves. So I'm saying that I think we may have a better aptitude of these lines than we're willing to say. But as these things continue to happen in our history, they're going to add more commentary on prophetic truth that's going to allow us, even those of us that are, we might call novices at this, to start putting things together. I think that is based upon Sister White's commentary on Ezekiel, where she says, when he sees these wheels within wheels, there's a place where she says something, and I think she says it more than once. When he first sees the wheels within wheels, it seems to be all confusion. But later on, she says something like, he realized they were in perfect order. So Ezekiel is identifying the 144,000 at the end of the world, that they're grappling with the message of line upon line that seems confusing at first, but there comes a point for whatever reason where the lights are turned on. And I think it's by the fulfillment of certain prophecies in the last days, lights begin to get thrown on truth that we've understood partially. And it becomes clear for all of us that have been applying ourselves as students of prophecy.
Yeah, I think she also says that those are the interplay of human events. Maybe you know the exact quote, but yeah. Yeah, that's the same concept.
The interplay of human events.
Yes, yeah. That's kind of the same principle that you're saying. All right,
yeah,
so...
Well, I'm saying when we're doing these lines, that is the wheels within the wheels.
Yes. Amen. Paul had a question on the chat. You can unmute yourself, Paul, if you want to ask the question, or I can read it, whatever you want to do.
Is that you?
Hey, can you hear me, Jeff?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, my question was, I believe that we had taught that the Sunday law precedes the attack on Nashville, but in seeing what you taught today, when you look at the beginning history, 9/11 preceded the Patriot Act. Do you still believe that the Sunday law precedes Nashville, or Nashville precedes Sunday?
No, I've understood, and I put it in the articles. I haven't spoke much on Zoom meetings about it, but I understand now that the commentary on Nashville fits in with the statement where Sister White says, oh, that God's people had a sense of the impending destruction of thousands of cities, almost totally given to idolatry. That may not be word for word, but it's very close. The point being is that she identifies the time, and in the context when you read that quote, the destruction of thousands of cities takes place while probation is still open. Okay, so before Michael stands up, there is a period of time that where the cities are going to be wiped out, and they're going to be wiped out because of rebellion. And what I'm saying is that at the Sunday law, this period of time where thousands of cities are going to be wiped out, not necessarily at the Sunday law, but beginning at the Sunday law, national apostasy followed by national ruin, a progressive series of judgments only escalates until the second coming of Christ. And so I understand Nashville to be in that category of one of the judgments that is brought about after the Sunday law. And you're saying I used to teach it was before the Sunday law?
Yeah, I believe you had said that in one of the studies. And but even apart from that, just in what you presented today, it just seems like an end from the beginning, just all the hanging chads in 2000 and just the sequence that if it's going to be repeated at the end, that the 9/11 event that occurs at the end would precede the actual Sunday law, because the Patriot Act took place after 9/11 in the beginning, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but let's just look at this real quickly if we can. Can you see my Bible?
Yes.
Program? Okay, so I know some of you that are on this chat may not realize that Paul and I have known each other for many years. So I'm just going to speak to Paul because he brought the question up in terminology that I know he understands. Okay. All right. I'm going to start right here. And okay, this is Revelation 11, and I believe that this is, I believe Daniel 11 and Revelation 11 at one level are what's unsealed at the end. So in July 2023, this is what's being unsealed at this portion of chapter 11, and beginning before verse 11, but we're going to begin at verse 11. It says, after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of Life God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither, and they ascended into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Okay, so that's describing the resurrection of those people that are going to be lifted up as an ensign, and therefore whoever the 144,000 are, they had to be dead in the streets prior to being resurrected. They had to be scattered. You know, they weren't Enoch that had lived righteously their entire lives. These are people that come out of a scattering and they're lifted up as an ensign. So verse 13 says, in the same hour they're lifted up as an ensign, there's a great earthquake. And I'm saying the earthquake is the overturning of the United States. Okay, the United States being the earth beast. And that was typified by the overturning of France, one of the 10 nations that made up pagan Rome, and the United States being one of 10 nations that's going to make up the dragon power, globalism, at the end. And that they get overthrown at the earthquake when a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And if you run 7,000 through the scriptures, you'll find that it represents a remnant. It doesn't necessarily represent a righteous remnant. It's used as both an unrighteous and a righteous remnant in the scriptures. So there's a remnant that were affrighted and gave glory. I can't read the rest of that because this is in the way. How would I do that? anyway, God, I could reach, go in the room and get my Bible. Anyway, the second woe at the earthquake, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. So the hour they're lifted up, which is the hour of the earthquake, which I'm saying is the Sunday law, where 1/10 of the kingdom is destroyed. It was France. And therefore, the United States being 1/10 of this kingdom, it's destroyed at national ruin, which is the Sunday law. And as soon as that's marked, the third woe cometh quickly, which I'm saying Islam strikes then. And the seventh angel sounded, and the seventh angel is the angel that was sounded in 1844, and it's both the Jubilee trumpet and the trumpet of the mystery of God being finished in us, the hope of glory, and when the kingdoms of the Lord are made the kingdoms of Christ. But dropping down to verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And Sister White comments on verse 18 and says that she was shown that each of these expressions come in order, okay? And the second expression in verse 18 is thy wrath has come, and thy wrath is the seven last plagues. So before the seven last plagues, the nations are to be made angry, and the nations being made angry are, that's accomplished by Islam. They're the power whose hand is against every man, and every man's hand is against them. And it's from verse 13 to 18, I'm saying you have, in verse 14, you got a reference to Islam striking at the Sunday law. You have Islam striking at the Sunday law in the context of the sealing of the 144,000 that begin at 9/11. Ends at the Sunday law. Islam of the third woe is released and restrained at 9/11. And when you get to the end of that prophetic history, Islam's going to have to be released again. And then in verse 18, the nations being angry is identifying the history that's ushered in from the great earthquake until human probation closes. And that history is represented by the work of Islam, which begins at the Sunday law. And you're wanting to say that Islam hits before the Sunday law. I'm not holding you to anything, but I'm thinking out loud. And I can see logic in that, in the sense that some kind of tremendous judgment is what pushes the United States over the edge for a Sunday law. But, and so what you're saying is,
I'm not really saying. I'm just asking based on what we just looked at, but what you just, I remember reading that now, so that makes sense as well in the sequence of things. But I was just looking at the end from the beginning, and just the way the line, you know, that we just looked at lines up, and you know, 9/11 preceding the Patriot Act in the beginning. That's all. But what you just said makes sense from Revelation as well.
Yeah, I think this is the lines that uphold that. You know, when you take this history from 9/11 to the Sunday law, and you look at the various lines that get plugged in there that have the signature of truth, you know, the three steps with the beginning illustrating the ending, you have two of them I can think of right off the bat that are addressing Islam that fit in there. If you're accepting Islam being marked at 9/11, then you have Balaam striking the ass at 9/11, and then you have Balaam striking the ass in between 9/11 and the Sunday law, and then you have Balaam striking the ass the third time at the Sunday law, because that's where the ass speaks, and the Sunday law is where the United States speaks, and that's where Zechariah speaks, and that's where Jeremiah speaks, that's where the Millerites spoke. So that way Mark is speaking. So you've got Islam in the ass and three-way march from 9/11 unto the Sunday law. And then if you understand that 9/11 is the activity of radical Islam on power on the earth, it struck at 9/11, and then it in the spiritual glorious land, and then it struck on October 7th, 2023, right? In literal yes. glorious land, and then it's going to strike a third time at the Sunday law, when you know it fulfills the prophecy of Revelation 11, behold, the third woe cometh quickly. So you've got those lines also in that history that are saying Islam at the Sunday law, Islam at the Sunday law. And those don't give you much wiggle room as far as putting it before or after. But I understand that it comes after primarily for this reason, and I'll close with this and let you have follow-up questions or whatever. And sometimes when I'm answering a question, I don't remember all the proof text that makes sense to me, and afterwards I'll think of a better one. But really, for me, the knockout punch on why Islam has to wait until the Sunday law to strike is based upon the trumpet. If we understand that there are two Sunday laws in past history that illustrate two Sunday laws at the end of the world, if we understand Constantine's Sunday law in pagan Rome in, 321, okay, Constantine's Sunday law in pagan Rome, and then papal Sunday law in 538, if those two ancient Sunday laws typify the Sunday law in the United States, pagan Rome, Constantine, and then the world Sunday law, the papacy at the end of the world, then you have this parallel testimony about two Sunday laws, pagan papal, in literal pagan papal, illustrating spiritual pagan and papal at the end of the world. But with that, you have laid over it the story of the seven trumpets. And it was from Constantine's Sunday law in 321 that the first four trumpets are blown to bring to a demise pagan Rome because of the Sunday law. And then the next two trumpets, the fifth and sixth trumpet, which are the first and second woe, are brought about after 538. I think Muhammad was born in 606. And the pioneers say that he was raised up to chastise an apostate church, and that apostate church that he was raised up to chastise in 606, although he had to grow up, whatever, it passed the Sunday law in 538. So we find that the trumpets are used to punish Rome for Sunday legislation, and therefore the first Sunday legislation that was typified by Constantine in 321, its judgment will come from a trumpet power, and the trumpet power it will come from will be the seventh trumpet, but it has to pass the Sunday law before it's judged.
That makes sense. Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
If nobody else has any questions, we'll let Jeff go. Does anyone else have a question? I guess not, Jeff.
Hey, well, that's good, I guess, compared to the last two Sabbaths, as far as gobbling up everyone's time. But
no, so we were blessed. Yeah, close with prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've allowed us to spend here these few hours discussing these things. Give us the discernment to recognize the things that are happening on planet Earth now are the footsteps of your approach, and give us the wisdom to share this with people in a winning way, in a convincing way. And we thank you for allowing us to be among the very few on planet Earth that are seeing these things in this light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff.